Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
What's happening, Rush Nation? It's Murph here. It is waiver wire time, arguably the most important waiver wire week of the year, and it's arguably the worst as well. So this one probably won't take too long. There isn't that many players that I would say are truly noteworthy. And I'm going to go through on the flagship show and discuss a couple of these a little bit more. But realistically, there's not a huge depth of talent here. But if you listen to the flagship show, I'm going to be talking about how you should change your roster construction, how you could change your bench construction. And therefore, that means picking up some of these players who should help you. So let's crack on. Let's get straight into it. Number one quarterback waiver wire ad this week is Taysom Hill. I know he's injured. He's 29.9% owned. However, I know he threw four picks, but with 101 yards rushing, he's got such a safe floor. He's always going to be in that conversation to be a top 12 quarterback in every single week. So you have to own him. You have to pick him up now. And if you listen to what I'm going to say on the waiver wire or the flagship show, I'm going to be talking about this in more detail about how you should have a quarterback. So if you don't have a quarterback on your roster because you listened to me and I said drop all of them, 100% was the right play, especially a few weeks ago. If you picked up all those handcuffs, you're in such a strong position now. Now you're in a position where you need to have a quarterback for the playoffs. Taysom Hill is that guy. If he's gone for whatever reason, the only other quarterbacks really at this stage who you can consider owning, they're over 30% owned though, are Tannehill and Tua Tagovailoa. They're the only two. The schedules are pretty good. You can play with both of them for the rest of the season. Matt Ryan actually has a few games in the playoffs too, but he has been struggling as of late. So they are the players who you should be targeting. But again, the only one under 30% owned at time of writing and recording is Taysom Hill. Moving on to running back. First one I'm going to talk about is on a bye this week. It's Kenneth Gainwell. He's 11.5% owned. He is on a bye, as I mentioned, but he did get a lot of play in this backfield. And he is back to being that receiving back. He had a few weeks where he was injured, had knock and illness and all those sorts of things. But now he is back. He has a defined role. It is the passing back role, which is exactly what we want, especially in PPR leagues. He is well worth an ad at this stage of the season because that waiver wire position is very thin at running back, especially under 30% owned. So there isn't that many options out there. And this is why I dig into the well for the next one. It's Rashad Penny, 1.7% owned. And actually, he flashed for me. And when the game was on the line, he was the one getting the touches. It wasn't Peterson. It wasn't Homer. It was Penny, and Penny looked good. He looked healthy. He looked like he had a bit of speed, a bit of burst to him, 27-yard reception. And they're the sorts of things I look for. I'm not going to say that he's going to elevate and vault himself to the top of this chart and he's going to be an absolute smash play in the playoffs. But I'm looking at upside now, and I'm thinking if anyone in Seattle is going to climb to the top of the depth chart, it's only going to be Rashad Penny at this stage. It's either going to be a four-man committee or a three-man committee, or Rashad Penny is going to vault himself up. I'm willing to speculate and add this week just to get a little bit of exposure to him. And if he pops, then I'm sorted. And if he's not, I'll cut him. It's not a big deal. I wouldn't be spending a lot of fab. In fact, just on fab, if you have a lot of fab left, you're not playing the game right. Most teams should be either out of fab or should have a little bit of fab. And people go, oh, well, yeah, but there's a big injury in the playoffs and you can snag them and it might lead to a title. It absolutely could. But on the same token, if you've got a load of fab, you've missed the playoffs. Again, you've not played it right. If you've got a load of fab and you've made the playoffs, I mean, fair enough, probably you didn't have anyone that you need to add. You've somehow avoided the gluttony of injuries that have happened this year. That's slightly different. But again, I like to rotate my rosters. I like to make sure I've got players who have good schedules and things like that. So just a word of wise. So ads on these, I mean, Taysom Hill's worth probably emptying the tank for. Put your last dollars on him. Kenneth Gainwell, probably worth 5% of remaining fab. Well, it depends what you've got on remaining fab. That's the hard thing. It's hard to know. This is worth $5 anywhere. I'd say with Sharp Penny, you probably get for two. I think it won't be on many people's radars. So as we get to wide receivers now, this is where some money can be spent. Russell Gage Jr. is 24.9% owned. And if you listen to me on Fantasy Pros last week, if you listen to me in the Waiver Wire column last week, I did say he would have a big week, and a big week he did. Not quite the way I necessarily designed. I thought he would attack the corners more. They've used him a lot more in the short to intermediary game. But you know what? He got a lot of catches, a 22-point game. I'm taking that all day long. And I'm looking at it thinking there's extra coverage going on Pitts now. He's getting double covered. You're looking at where the plays are going to be open. There's no one else really behind Gage on that depth chart who's going to make significant plays. Tarjay Sharpe? I don't think so. So Gage is a really, really nice roster add at this stage. Again, he is worth spending. If you're down to like your last $10 in FAP, he's probably worth spending that, or close to it, because he is going to deliver points in the playoffs. The schedule's pretty good. They're going to be behind in games. They're going to need to throw the ball. Gage is locked in now. He looks healthy. He's moving well. Got a lot of targets at the weekend. So I really am all up for spending some money on Russell Gage. I'm on Ross St. Brown, 6.6% owned. He has Denver this week, and I think he's going to get some extra exposure. He ended up with 10 catches for 86 and 1. And again, I think the Lions are just showing they're not going to quit. They're just going to keep playing. Dan Campbell's effectively playing for his job, so he's got to show the fight. And I think they're going to continue to sling this rock around, especially with Swift out. So I like Smith. I like St. Brown. I also like Josh Reynolds. He also had a pretty decent game. Nothing exciting, but 10.7 PPR points. You're taking that all day long to the bank. And the other one you should keep an eye on, it's not in the article because I didn't know the nature of the injury until now, is KJ Osborne. KJ Osborne is less than 5% owned. And with feeling out, KJ Osborne could get very, very busy next week. So definitely a speculative ad for 1 week only. If you're in one of those win and in situations, if you can get Russell Gage and KJ Osborne, that's going to give you every chance to get a win this week. That's for sure. Tight end, moving on to Cole Kmet, 13.3% owned. To be honest, he's the only tight end under 30% worth owning. He's the only one that gets regular amount of targets. He's the only one that's got a chance at scoring some touchdowns. If not, you're playing matchup to matchup streams. And I'll probably talk about that a little bit in the pod, but in the flagship show. But as a result, for me, Cole Kmet's probably the only one. He's gonna get some play. You look at the box score, it's pretty bad, but he got 7 targets, and that's effectively all I'm looking for at position as it stands right now. Kicker's a tough one because McPherson's over 30% owned. If he's free, I'd go get him. Badgley's on bye, he'll be talking about probably most weeks since he's been at the Colts. So I've gone slightly left field here, and I've gone with Dustin Hopkins. He's on the Chargers now, was formerly of Washington. And they've got kicking problems, so you have to question why they got rid of him. But another double-digit performance from Hopkins. He's on the Chargers. They're going to score points. I think for this week only, I'd be playing Hopkins. It's a good matchup. I think, against the Giants, I think they're going to be an absolutely fine proposition to score some points. And the Giants' D's not bad. They'll make stops, and he will have to kick a few field goals. The DST, I've gone with Seattle. I don't think the Seattle D's good, but they're playing Houston. And Houston are terrible. And it looks like Davis Mills is going to be under center. He's definitely good for a turnover or two. Even if the Seattle Seahawks aren't that good, even they, I think, can still get a turnover too. If not, they are absolutely terrible. So as a result, I would be starting the Seattle Seahawks away at Houston because I think it's just the best matchup on the board. And why not? But that's going to do it for this Waiver Wire podcast. Please tune into the flagship pod. There's a lot of information there. If you're going to make the playoffs or on the cusp of the playoffs, it's a really big one. And then when I speak next week, we'll be in the fantasy football playoffs for most leagues. This is absolutely nuts. This season's flying by. We've got less than 4 weeks left, so it's going to be an absolute barnstormer the rest of the way. Thank you for sticking with us. Thank you if you're tuning in for the first time for getting stuck in and getting involved. Don't forget to check us out on patreon.com/5yardrush. Get access to me and our WhatsApp chat in there as well. So from me and all the team here at 5 Yard Rush, don't forget, as always, keep rushing.